Ooh.
$60,000?
$60,000. The IRS has apologized. They realized the Star Trek video didn't play well with taxpayers, especially in this economy. And I said that going forward, we have put in place tighter procedures to ensure all of our videos across the IRS embrace the core concepts of taxpayer service and employee training in a prudent, cost-effective manner. The IRS, to make this story short, distributed a video to the IRS employees. There are many of them. It was tax day not too long ago. And thought the best way to get to our tax preparers or our tax employees was to show the IRS employees in Star Trek costumes on a big spaceship.
Of course it is.
$60,000 training video, which has been on the the cable news channels and the internet in a, I wouldn't call it a very, wouldn't be applause. It's more of a mocking sense.
I haven't seen it, I'll be honest. But do the people who own, whoever owns the rights to Star Trek, do they get royalties or some sort of compensation? Do they get a cut of this?
Some kind of permission, at least, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would expect to use the image and of Star Trek that they would have to get something.
I don't know. I think that might be the $60,000. It might have been the licensing just to use the Worf costume. Let's take one more listen to a employee training video. Montgomery Ward. You remember that. That was a retailer
sure.
that was here for a while
yep.
and is no longer with us, like many other retailers since then.
They used to make radios, too.
They did make radios,
yep.
And you can find those at the?
At the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting.
Ah, nicely done.
Airline radios, right? They're called Airline.
Airline. That was one of the big brands. They had a few. That was one of the bigger ones, yeah.
This is a video that, and I watched these also when I was getting jobs as a teenager, how to handle, not necessarily the very blatant robber, but how to handle some questionable shoplifting that might be going on.
Aha.
Other dishonest people who steal our profits are shoplifters. We lose millions of dollars a year to them.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I just saw a woman shoplift a Walkman. It was just a minute ago. She put it in her shoulder bag.
Okay, can you describe her?
Yeah, she's kind of tall.
Hey, Carl. Well, so did you catch her?
No, I followed her. We taped her too, but she left the store without taking anything else.
But I saw her steal it.
Well, I can't detain anyone unless I personally see them take the merchandise and keep them in my sight until they leave the store. It's company policy. You know, next time she may not be so lucky, yeah? So you just continue to keep your eyes open, all right? Associates like you are the best source we have to deter shoplifters.
Well, all right.
Okay.
See you later.
See you later. Shoplifters hate attentive associates like Carl, but they love empty areas like this with no associates to bother them. They love messy displays and counters, too, because it's so easy to take lots of merchandise without it being missed. It's not always easy to spot a shoplifter, even if you're watching one closely. Shoplifters can look and act like anyone. They can be young or old, dressed up, or very casual. Honest customers can display shoplifting traits. Is this customer a shoplifter because she's holding a shirt over her bag? Well, maybe so. And maybe not. All shoplifters have one thing.
Everyone is learning a lot today.
I like how they say they're attracted to messy areas. Maybe that's just another way to get the employees to keep things clean, tidy.
There's some subtle messages on there. Don't leave your area and keep it clean because people will shoplift otherwise.
Always be watching everyone who's there.
When I was a kid, I had a messy room when I was a kid. My mom used to say that. Don't, clean up your room. Otherwise, people are going to come in and start stealing your things.
Did she really?
No.
Okay.
I made that up.
I am a little naive sometimes.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, we will come back with some more training videos, some more audio clips, and we'll hear more about what's going on at the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting. This is Flashback Twin Cities, and we'll be right back.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise-wide. Its never-ending mission is to seek out new tax forms, to explore strange new regulations, to boldly go where no government employee has gone before. Captain's log, stardate 8.23.2110. We received a distress call from the planet Notax in the ATAT system. According to their leaders, the planet's civilization has degraded to anarchy. Chaos rules over order, We've sent a landing party to assess the situation and report back. We hope we're not too late.
I'm receiving incoming reports from the landing party. But it's difficult to hear, Captain. There's poor reception.
Fascinating.
Can't you do something?
Attempting to modulate the frequency now.
Sorry about the uniforms, Captain. The dry cleaner gave me the wrong order. Starlight coffee while you wait, sir? It's better than McDonald's and only twice the price.
No can do, yeoman. I've already spent my per diem for the day.
Coming in clear now, Captain. Shall I open a channel?
Yes, on screen. Lieutenant Mackey, report.
Mister, it's worse than we thought. There's money laundering, bribery, cash pay haircuts and manicures running rampant in the street. Sir, they're even exchanging their lowest coin currency for paper bills.
You don't mean...
That's right, sir. Pennies on a dollar.
In case you've just joined us, this is Flashback Twin Cities, not a bad episode of Star Trek.
That's the first time that I've seen or heard that. That is absolutely amazing. So that's something that the IRS, that's a training video per se that they put out?
An IRS training video that cost $60,000. Now, there's three people in this room here that have worked in production, and I'm wondering if we could have got a bid on that to make something better.
I feel like my friends could put that together for a couple $100.
If you have a moment and you have some kind of morbid curiosity, go to YouTube and type in IRS Star Trek. This video pops up. The production quality, I think there's things on Metro Cable 6 and that are far better. Things in my phone, I think, that are far better than that.
I do have to give credit to the Vulcan hair and ears. That was pretty spectacular.
That was pretty good. So this is contemporary, right?
This was just made produced. 2013.
Okay. And William Shatner is not happy.
William Shatner is appalled by it. What's more appalling, William Shatner or William Shatner appalled? I don't know. But that is the IRS training video.
Amazing.
Again, an alternative universe, literally an alternate universe.
Yeah, this is what they want.
One more video, and then I will spare us the rest of the segment here. This is, if you ever wonder what goes into a pizza when you order pizza from Pizza Hut or Papa John's, what is the intricacies that go behind that? This is from 1986. It's called Pizza Hut Training Video for the phone call that comes into the pizza place and get your pizza.
I give up. How many times have you gotten service like that? The phone rings and rings. When you finally get through, bam, 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 bam. It makes you wonder what they're thinking. I mean, what's more important than a customer like me who wants to give you their business? Nothing is more important than a customer. It doesn't matter whether they walk in our unit or call us on the phone. We have to make them feel important. You know, treat them with care.
Put all the phones on hold.
Moral of the story is pick up the phone when someone's ordering a pizza.
You know, one of my first jobs was at Pizza Hut. And this is serious now. And so I may have watched that, although it wasn't in 1986. It was in the early 90s. So
when they called up Pizza Hut, did you just click the phone? Because in the first part of the video, the Pizza Hut employees are just picking up the phone and clicking it.
The first thing I did was I immediately panicked. And then I just kind of hung it up.
I thought I was going crazy for a second. I thought the tape was slowing down horribly. Yeah. And
no, it's 80s special effects.
Ooh.
Were they?
No, this is true. I wish I could say these are parodies. These are comedy videos. These are all videos that were produced by professional production companies. I use the term loosely. Mass-produced, sent out to franchised restaurants, stores, for all of us to watch.
You got to wonder the people who produce the industrial videos like that, if they eventually become part of that, alternate universe, if that's, if it wears off on them because they've seen so many of them. And
well, I guess
so
it's either that or you just stand in front of the camera and give exposition the whole time.
I don't know, but again, we may have snow, we may have miserable drives in April. There's a lot we can say that it's wrong in the week, but that's not the reality of our universe. What was the KLBB video, Tom, when you came here? What was the what did Dan produce?
The KLBB video was, here's the CD rack. Good luck.
I like.
Oh,
it.
So there is a there was a training video for.
Well,
KLBB?
The training video was more of him just saying good luck.
Oh,
no, very, very direct approach.
Dan was good. Jenna took me under her wing and made fun of me until I got it right. So you know that's a good thing to do.
That works too.
That works out well for me.
Let's take a swing back here to the. Museum of Broadcasting, because this, again, it's a great place. I want people to go there, and I want people to go and hear Danny recite the Burger Rap song at some point.
From memory.
I think that you must get a lot of requests for Boone and Erickson audio.
We do. Boone and Erickson, very popular WCCO personalities, especially on the morning show for, wow, forever.
60 years in broadcasting. They were on the morning together, I think, at least 35, 40 years.
They started together in 1961. So quite a chunk of time. And then Charlie just retired probably, oh, boy, three,
year and
four,
a half ago? Yeah, like two years ago.
Yeah, we'll say two, something like that. But he was still doing Saturday mornings. And actually, up until about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, Cannon was still calling in on on Saturday mornings doing the Morgan Mundane sports prognostications.
That's great. And again, it's amazing that as many years in radio or TV that some of these Hall of Fame members are, there's so little footage that exists. Any kind of footage we can find is so precious and so wonderful to hear. Danny Henry, who is an expert at digitizing audio, let's listen to Boone Erickson. This is, what year is this from, do we know?
Boy, you know, it's kind of a composite.
Okay.
A lot of their popular bits that they would do together on radio.
Boone Erickson.
Good morning.
Morning, Glenwood.
Good morning.
Morning, Moorwood.
Good morning.
Morning, Cottonwood.
Good morning.
Morning, Woodlake.
Good morning. Good morning. Sunbeams soon break through. Good morning. How do you do? Good morning. Good day to you. Good morning. Good morning. To you. How do you do?
Good morning. Good morning. It's grand to be on hand. Good morning. Good morning to you.
And now Boone and Erickson bring lovable old Ma Gherkins, a radio soap opera for the 70s, today starring Broadway's Carol Channing. As we join Ma, she's in the office talking to Shuffle.
Oh, yes, Shuffle. I'm so excited. Carol Channing is coming to town.
She's already here.
Who's already here?
Carol, down in Canning. She used to work in the cucumber sorting line.
No, not Carolyn Canning. Carol Channing.
Twas the day before Christmas, with things all a bustle, as Mama got set for the Christmas Eve tussle. Aunts, uncles, and cousins soon would be arriving with stomachs all ready for Christmas Eve dining. Well, I sat alone with a feeling of dread as visions of lutefisk danced in my head. The thought of the smell made my eyeballs start burning. The thought of the taste set my stomach to churning.
This is Sid the Musical, based on a book of the same name. Sid was born in Minneapolis in humble surroundings. Even as a small child, neighbors knew he was different. Instead of saying,
"Hi, chum,"
he'd say,
"What a jerk."
Little Sid had to work at an early age to help the family. One day in downtown Minneapolis, he passed the Minneapolis Star Tribune building.
Hey, kid, want to make some money?
Yes.
How about selling papers on the street?
How much can I make?
How much? Everybody wants to be a Kevin Garnett.
So Sidney took the job. It was the start of a media career. Now, selling papers back when Sid was a kid was different. Oh, yes. There was no CNN with breaking news, no CBSI then. There wasn't even television. Back in those days, that was so long ago. People got breaking news when the newspaper put out an extra.
Extra! Extra! Read all about it.
He goes on to say, President Lincoln has been shot.
Oh, we should have cut that down.
It's kind of funny because, you know, Sid's getting up there.
Well, he's been around a while. Yes. He's sold papers.
Yeah, and that's how it all started for him.
Well, Sid, when people come to Minneapolis, I've never been here before, I try to explain to them. I try to orientate them, not through a training video, but through just some media things. And I say, well, if you go to the Tribune, there's a columnist who's been writing columns for 60 years.
Right.
They think I'm being funny.
No, that's real.
I think he's 92?
He's in his 90s, yeah.
He's still writing three columns a week?
Yeah.
Radio every week?
Yep, still hear him on the radio. Hear him on the weekends, too.
He covers all the games. He doesn't write from a computer in his house. He's actually out there on the street with his notepad.
Sid's a lifer, and I think that if he didn't do what he's doing, then I don't know what he would do. You know, he's just one of those guys that won't retire, and he's good at what he does.
Is he, and he's one of the charter members of Hall of Fame, or was
he? I can't remember. I don't know what year Sid was. It was 2001 or 2002. So he might have been part of the first class.
And our friend Stan Turner, who is the host of the Stan Turner Show, great story. He was emceeing the night that Sid was inducted to the Hall of Fame, but Sid had to go first because he had to go cover a Gopher game.
Yeah, yeah. So I think things were rearranged for Sid. And
I think Sid did some rearranging himself. I think he went back and started messing with the PowerPoint, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't there, but I've heard stories.
When Sid gets close to the technology, including the typewriter, you got to beware.
But yeah, he literally started out selling Star Tribune newspapers and moved on to writing and then eventually radio as well.
So tell us, besides the Hall of Fame, tell us more about what we're going to see at the museum. We talked about last time we were here, some of the great old radios. What else can you do there? So when I go there, take the family there, besides seeing the cannons, besides seeing some of the old radios, what's an experience there?
Well, the Pavick Museum of Broadcasting is in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. We're kind of a well-hidden gem, but basically we house one of the world's largest antique radio and television collections. So there's quite a bit to see. We also have a collection there that is part of the Jack Mullen collection. And Jack Mullen was Bing Crosby's audio engineer, and he assembled a collection that loosely traces the history of recorded sound. And that goes from early Edison phonographs and tinfoil machines and cylinder machines all the way through audio tape. So we have quite a collection of... it's mostly equipment at the museum.
And if you like cameras, if you like seeing the old weather radar, we had Bud Kraling in last summer. It was a great event that you and I worked on.
Yep.
The weather radar is from 19. It's from World War II, actually.
I'm not sure. Yeah. And we do have the dish right above. So we have Bud Kraling's original weather radar, and it is just a radar machine with the weather map actually drawn on with a magic marker. And we do have the dish that was once on top of the Fauché Tower in downtown Minneapolis, when it was the tallest building. And that's how he would get the weather.
Until the IDS Tower came in 1972?
I think you're right.
But no, there's TV cameras there.
We have a lot of radio and a good amount of television as well, and TV cameras among them. So there's quite a collection. And in addition to that, you can hear and see some of the videos that we've been playing audio from today. So we have clips of a lot of the broadcasters' careers, and a lot of it is focused on Minnesota broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
So we do tell the story of broadcasting on a national level. But the
focus is Twins. Well, it's not Twins. It's Minnesota.
There is a focus on that as well. Yeah, and we have nearly 160 people in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame now. So if you come in, you know, if you say, hey, I really like Sid Hartman, you can watch a video of his career as well.
Well, the best part about the Pavick Museum is you get the whole thing. You get not only the old equipment, you get to see Hall of Fame members through videos. You get to kind of interact with the cannons. The museum in Washington, D.C., if you're ever in D.C., go to the museum. It's a great place. It's all equipment-based.
Okay. Is this the newsium?
The newsium, that's okay. Right. The newsium. The Pally Center from William Pally, the CBS founder, it's in L.A. and New York. It's all video.
Mostly archival, from what I understand. Yeah,
I love it there. But you get the whole thing in the Pavick Museum.
Yeah. A lot of the museums, there are a few of them scattered throughout the country, The ones that are, it seems to me, the ones that are archive-based are not necessarily doing as well because of, you know, the surfacing of YouTube and the internet. People can kind of dial up these videos at home now and watch them. But we do have, quote-unquote, the guts of the industry. We have a lot of the equipment, and you really do get a feel for it, what it was like to broadcast back then.
MuseumofBroadcasting.org. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Always great having you here. Hey, next week we have David Brower from InPost, and Jenna will be with me because you're off, Tom.
That's right. I'm going to the Bahamas, baby.
Well, take us with you. No, we'll be here next week. This has been Flashback Twin Cities on KLV Club 1220. So long.